Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello there and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We will look at the Mass readings for Pentecost Sunday and we will focus on the Holy Spirit. You know how excited I am? Let me just tell you, I am really excited because I love the Holy Spirit, but for many years, I just didn't get the Spirit. Do you feel that way sometimes? The Holy Spirit's mysterious. The Holy Spirit is represented by wind or breath or a fire or water or a dove. And it's really hard to pray to fire or to wind or to breath or to a dove or to water, right? How do you do that? And that's why I think the Holy Spirit is often very confusing to many of us, even those of us who have a formal Catholic education, who think we know something about our Catholic faith. We get confused about the Holy Spirit. But it's important. The Holy Spirit is so important, and we will talk about the Spirit on today's program. So glad to have you with me on the show. I want to thank you for being a regular listener. If you are a regular listener of the program, if you're not, welcome. I hope you will become a regular listener of the program. I want to invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, to find out more information about the work that I do. Followingthetruth.com. While you're there, why don't you consider signing up for my daily email devotional? It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, and it's designed to give you a little peace in the midst of a crazy world. Now, there is no cost. It's free of charge. All you do is go to followingthetruth.com. You can click on the button, sign up for it. You just have to provide your email address. You can give your name as well. But all that's really required is your email address. You give your email address, you sign up, and every day you'll then receive in your inbox, free of charge, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, my daily devotional. The way it works is, and you know, it's something you can always unsubscribe from if it becomes too much for you, if your mailbox gets too cluttered up. But the response I've been getting is good. People seem to appreciate this daily reminder of the involvement of the Lord in your lives, the willingness of the Lord to get involved in your daily life. Because the way this devotion works is I have a Bible verse, and I share a few words about it, and then that's it. So I think it's a good way to get your day off to a positive start. So please sign up for that if you would be so kind. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to do that. All right, sound good? Okay, I'm assuming you said yes. I'm going to give you a little newsflash. I can't actually hear you, but I'm assuming that you said yes when I said that. I know what I'm going to do now. Let's pray, and then we'll dig right into the readings for Pentecost Sunday. Ooh, come Holy Spirit. I get excited when I start thinking about the Spirit. So I'm going to give you a little insight as to how I pray. I always ask, one of the roles of the Spirit is to help us to pray. The Spirit helps us to pray when we're not sure how it is that we should pray. So I'm going to ask the Spirit to guide my words as I begin this prayer. We're going to talk to the Father right now, and I will pray in Jesus' name. So we're praying in the person of Jesus as members of his church to the Father, because we're his adopted sons and daughters, right? Through the Holy Spirit. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm praying in Jesus to the Father. Kind of amazing, isn't it? What an incredible privilege to be able to do that. So let's do that now. And I would ask you to join me from wherever you are. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Abba, Father, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for your unconditional love. Father God, I thank you for creating us. I thank you for sustaining our lives. I thank you for the gifts that you give to us each and every day, how you provide for us in so many ways, through nature, through food. You give us shelter. You send other people into our lives. You sent Jesus to become man for us. You sent the Holy Spirit. Father, you continue to provide for us, and we thank you for that. Father, please help us with all the problems we face right now. We know that you could do a better job handling them than we ourselves can. So we give them to you and we ask you to help us. We pray, Father, for an immediate end to the coronavirus. We pray for relief, complete healing for those suffering in any way from the virus, those suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We know you're hearing these words, Father. We trust your timing, but we know that without a doubt you are hearing these words. Father, I ask you this day to use me as your instrument. I'm going to try my best with your help to get out of the way so you, Father, can deliver your message through your Spirit using me. Please open our minds and our hearts, all of us, so that we can be receptive to what it is you have to say. Father, I pray for a special and brand new outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Fill us up with your Spirit from our head to our toes so that we can come alive with the fire of your Spirit. Father, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name, amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, I'm ready to talk about the Holy Spirit. What do you think? By the way, in case you're wondering who this crazy man is who is venting and getting excited, my name is Gary Zimek, and this is the Gary Zimek Show. So pleased to come to you each week through many podcast sources and also over the air on numerous Catholic radio stations around the United States. If you're listening on a Catholic radio station, would you do me a favor? I am aware of many stations running the show. Shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com and let me know the station that you're listening on, and I'll give you a shout out in a future program. Does that sound good? I want to know. I mean, I have an idea who all is listening, but I don't know you as an individual, so why don't you let me know? And if you'd like me to, I would use your name on the air and give you a shout out. And also mention the station that you are listening on. So you just send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right. So as I do each week on the program, when I look at the Mass readings, and again, these readings are from Pentecost Sunday. As I look at the Mass readings, I always start with the Gospel because the Gospel leads the way. Everything else is anchored on the Gospel. So today we're going to look at John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning in verse 19 through 23. Now, if you remember, this gospel is going to sound familiar to you because we heard this a few weeks ago. This incident right here from John's gospel, chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, occurs on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's going to paint a picture of what his followers were like, of the mindset of his followers after he was crucified. Remember, he's their leader. Their movement wasn't exactly popular with the mainstream establishment. A lot of people were out to get Jesus. And if they were out to get Jesus, guess who's next once Jesus is out of the picture, right? His followers. So the apostles, they're afraid right now. And you're going to see evidence of this in the gospel. Okay? On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." So you see that picture. Now, we're told this is the disciples, but literally this is the apostles. This is the inner circle. They're hiding for fear of the establishment, the Jews, the religious leaders who are against Jesus. That's why they're hiding. And all of a sudden, Jesus came through the locked doors. A reminder for us, no matter where we are, we're in quarantine, we're isolated, we're in a hospital, we're in a nursing home, where we feel alone, Jesus can still get to us, and he does. He can walk right through the door wherever you are. That's a good thing. I find that very comforting. Jesus came, stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." The first words out of his mouth after being crucified, after, with the exception of John, all of them deserting him at his crucifixion. I mean, you would think something, he would say something other than "peace be with you." But there his first words to them, "peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, his wounds. So here is this glorified Jesus, risen from the dead, still being able to display his wounds. And what did the disciples do? They rejoiced when they saw him. And Jesus again said to them, "Peace be with you." So he wants to make sure that they receive his peace, that peace that comes with Jesus. The peace, by the way, that is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So if you're looking for more peace in your life, that's going to come about through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So in other words, he's authorizing them, or he's commissioning them, that's the word I'm looking for, to go out and continue to share the good news. Only this time, he's done this before with them, but this time, he's not going to be with them because he is sending them out. The church now will continue with Jesus having died, risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven. That's going to be taking place soon, but it's going to be up to the apostles to continue the church. And then Jesus breathed on them. Now, this is indicative of the Holy Spirit represented oftentimes in Scripture as breath or wind. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Now, of course, this is an initial deposit, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. This is their first reception of the Holy Spirit with the specific assignment to forgive sins. And as Catholics, we believe this is the institution of the sacrament of reconciliation or penance or confession. They were authorized, the followers of Jesus, his disciples, actually the apostles, I want to be specific, his inner circle were given the authority to forgive sins in his name. That comes about through the Holy Spirit. They would receive a further outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. We're going to hear about that in the first reading, which is the official birth of the church. So the inner core, the inner circle, receives the Holy Spirit and are authorized by Jesus to forgive sins in his name during this night, the night that Jesus rose from the dead. However, shortly thereafter, the full church gathered together with these same individuals also and the Blessed Mother, and we'll hear about this in the first reading, the church as a whole will receive the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, and the Holy Spirit continues to guide the church and continues to reside in each one of us as members of the mystical body of Christ or the church. So that's kind of cool. The Holy Spirit does a lot, and unfortunately, not a lot is known about the Holy Spirit to many people. But I'm going to do my best to make you know about the Holy Spirit because you need the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the first reading, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I mean, really cool stuff happening here. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind. See that wind, that symbol of the Holy Spirit? And it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire. There's your fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Let me just go on, and then I'll talk a little bit about it. Sometimes I get excited and I want to stop the readings, but I want to continue. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." So we see witness of the power of the Holy Spirit, and that uniting effect of the Holy Spirit, allowing these people to understand one another, even though they are speaking different languages. And I think that's one of the things we really want to focus on, this power that came to them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. We might not have the ability. It's not a necessity that we can speak in foreign tongues when we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that is one of the charismatic extraordinary gifts often given by people when they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, I think I talked about it on the show before, is just a means of activating the Holy Spirit in your life. It can be done formally, as I did many years ago through the Charismatic Renewal, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. But it can also be done simply by saying, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, please become active in my life." And through that activation of the Spirit, you can be filled with the Spirit. And you should be doing this every day, because we have this tendency as Spirit-filled Christians to leak, right? We leak the Holy Spirit. We need to get filled up every day. So continually pray for a new outpouring of the Spirit. And then look for the Spirit working in your life. You might not get the extraordinary gifts of the Spirit. Not everybody gets them, such as healing, such as prophecy, such as prayer tongues. Not everybody gets these gifts. And the purpose of these charismatic gifts, and I'm just going to touch on them here, I'm not going to really go into a lot of detail, but the purpose of these gifts is to build up the church. But everybody has the Spirit working them. When you are baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you have the ability for all of the fruits of the Spirit to be evident in your life. The fruits of the Spirit, when you look at the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These gifts, or these fruits of the Holy Spirit, they represent the life of Christ. So if you got all these fruits going in your life, you're going to be looking like Jesus. And that's the purpose. It's the Spirit's purpose. The Holy Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit is to transform you. In addition to guiding the church, which the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you is sent to you so that you can be transformed into the image of Christ. And look, I'll be honest, I don't look like Christ many times. People look at me and they say, "I'm not seeing it." That's because I'm a work in progress. He is working on me. I can feel it. I see evidence of his work in my life, but it's a process. And it's the same for you. But just know that you can have all of those fruits. All of those fruits can be evident in your life, but you've got to give the Spirit permission to work. The responsorial psalm, appropriately enough, comes from Psalm 104. "Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of your creatures. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme. I will be glad in the Lord." Come, Holy Spirit. And that's probably one of the most important prayers that you could ever pray. And I would encourage you to pray it often. Come, Holy Spirit. Come alive in me, Spirit. This is the very Spirit that dwelled in Jesus. He gave us His Spirit. So, you know, we think sometimes we're just going to muscle through and we're going to become good Christians just by gritting our teeth and working real hard. No, you're not. You're going to fall on your face. But with the Holy Spirit, you will have the ability to resemble Christ, to be Christ, to be His arms and legs in the world, His hands and feet in the world. That comes about because of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, you can know Jesus and pray in Jesus to the Father. I mean, it's mind-blowing what you can do through the Spirit. And many times, I've noticed this when I give talks, haven't given a talk in a while now because of all the COVID-19 stuff. All of my Lenten talks were canceled, and not sure when they're going to get rescheduled. But many times I'm out giving a talk around the country, and I say something, and I realize, man, that's not me. That's coming from the Spirit. And I always pray to the Spirit. Same thing when I do this radio show. I ask the Spirit to give me the words. And sometimes I impress myself, or the Spirit impresses me. Other times I'm reminded, like, oh boy, this is just me. And that's how the Lord keeps me humble. But I do feel the power of the Spirit working through me. And I bet you have too. I bet there's been times where you say, I don't know how I came up with that, or I didn't know what to say. So get into the habit also of asking the Spirit. If you have a challenging meeting coming up, or if you have to make a decision, ask the Spirit to guide you. It doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. And really mean those words. Just because they're three words, don't discount them. They're powerful words. You just got to mean what you say. Let's look at the second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all are parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we are all given to drink of one Spirit. So let's talk a little bit about this, because this is some good stuff here. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Does Paul mean that I cannot speak the words Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is working in me? Well, no, not exactly. I could say the words and not mean them. An atheist could say the words. But no one can legitimately say and believe that Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you an example. I talked about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. I'm a cradle Catholic. I was baptized as an infant. And I went to 12 years of Catholic school, and I really had no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was a bunch of head knowledge, and I didn't believe that Jesus was real. I mean, I knew He was a real person, but I didn't believe He was involved in my life, that He was real. He wasn't real to me. That's the best way I can describe it. And then in the late 70s, a friend invited me to attend a prayer meeting of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which was pretty big at the time. I grew up in Philadelphia. And many churches had these prayer meetings, and they were drawing like 200 plus people a week. And it was a completely different experience. People were Catholics, were carrying Bibles, praising the Lord, believing in miracles, talking about Jesus as if He was real. It blew me away. I never saw anything like it. And I continued to go for about a year. I was in college at the time. And ended up getting baptized in the Spirit, which I talked about earlier, which meant it was done in a formal way. People prayed over me. It wasn't a new sacrament or anything. Baptism in the Spirit is just a reawakening of the Spirit. That's the best way I could describe it. And suddenly Jesus became real to me. And that's a common denominator for many people who experience that baptism in the Spirit. Jesus becomes real. And you are able to say, yes, You are my Lord. In other words, You're the boss. You tell me what to do, and I'm going to follow You. And you suddenly have a desire to live for Christ, to please Him, to follow Him, even when it involves suffering and difficulty. But that comes about through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am not the same person I was even 10 years ago. And that I can attribute to the Spirit. I forgot about the power of the Spirit for many years. I got distracted, and it happens. We can backslide. But once I began to key in again, and I had a new encounter with Jesus, a new conversion or reversion, whatever you want to call it, through the power of the Spirit, I really was able to surrender my life to Jesus. And I have to continue to do it each day. It's something that we have to continually do. You don't just surrender your life to Christ one time and it's a done deal. It's not. Every day, sometimes several times per day, I have to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. In this situation, your will be done, Jesus. And that's what surrender is all about. That's not going to happen except through the Holy Spirit. And then Paul goes on to talk about different kinds of gifts. Yes, we are all, as baptized Christians, members of the mystical body of Christ, the church. We're all members, but we all show different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We have different gifts. And the reason for that is variety is the spice of life. You've heard that, right? The church is built up through a wide variety of gifts. My gifts, your gifts. We might have the same Holy Spirit in us, but it's going to show differently in us. Every one of us has some sort of manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And then Paul talks about in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We were all given to drink of one Spirit. So the Spirit is a uniter. The Spirit, he's a uniter. He unites us. We are united in the Spirit. And on this day, that's really, really important because we see, unfortunately, a lot of division in the world, in the country, in the church. The Catholic Church is even divided right now. People on different sides of the fence, different ends of the spectrum, a lot of fighting going on. Guess what? That's not from the Spirit. We need to be united again. And especially now, during this pandemic, the time is right for uniting once again. We need that. So know that the Spirit is at work. The Spirit wants us to be united and just depend on, continue to ask the Spirit for help. And ask the Spirit to use you to help spread the good news. And you could be the person who makes the difference in your sphere of influence. You've got people you can influence on social media, your friends, your family members. You might not be able to reach out to the entire world, but there's people the Lord has in your path for a reason. Spread the good news and ask the Spirit for help. The Spirit will guide you, okay? All right, so that was when we got it all in. Thank you so much for listening to the program. I, again, want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com, and ask you to sign up for my daily email reflection. Let not your heart be troubled. You can do that at followingthetruth.com. And while you're there, please consider making a donation or becoming a monthly sponsor to my full-time ministry. You can do that securely through PayPal by going to followingthetruth.com. Click on donate and you will be directed to PayPal. You do not need a PayPal account to do it. You just need a credit card. And that'll really help me. That helps me tremendously. It's the only reason that I can continue to do this show and continue in full-time ministry. It's because of you. So I thank you. I am incredibly grateful. I pray for you all the time. And I would ask you to please pray for me and my family as well. Remember to ask the Holy Spirit to come alive in you. Do it often, and wait till you see what the Spirit does. All right, I'm going to run. God willing, I'll be back with you here next week on The Gary Zimek Show. Thank you for listening. Come, Holy Spirit.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.